when we have victories with Jesus in our quiet place with him. Just like David slew the lion and the bear quietly. And then he was brought out to slay Goliath with two nations watching publicly. It's with this heart, Lord, that we offer ourselves to you this morning as your kids. Some of us may be friends. Just trusting you with everything in our lives that we could draw in so close. That we would understand the high calling and privilege of carrying your glory, even outside these doors. Thank you, Jesus. What an honor, what a privilege. Change us from the inside out. That we would never want to be the same again. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have Cynthia and Lawrence share about summer celebration as we transition into a lot of continued blessings that God has for us this morning. What a privilege to be here. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Is there something? The kids were here this week and many others, and they have something to share.
Man with flippers doesn't have any.
We had a great turnout for summer celebration. It started on Wednesday evening, Thursday, and Friday. We had 32 children registered. We had about 30 in and out. Yes, thank you. That is just an awesome, awesome thing. And on Friday night, to kind of wrap our time together, I was asking some of the kids how many times they've been to our summer celebration, which is our version of Vacation Bible School. And some of the kids have been coming for like 3 years, and these aren't children that attend our church. They're just children from the neighborhood. So that was awesome, because I think I knew that, but I didn't realize it until they actually spoke it out. I was like, oh, we've seen you, Drew, for 3 years. And now he was part of the junior high night. Lawrence, Justin, and Andrew Miller took 4 of the junior high boys out and went bowling with them and pizza and stayed out with them for a late-nighter, not an all-nighter this year. But, you know, good reports from there, and it was just an awesome, awesome time. Our theme was Cave Quest, Following Jesus, the Light of the World. So a lot of our activities revolved around that, and there was caves, and there was all kinds of fun things set up for the kids. So it was a great, great time. So one of the things we talked about was being a caver, and how you had to wear, a caver has appropriate gear. And our friend here kept showing up with inappropriate gear for caving. So
I explained to the children after the first day, I took it upon myself. I wasn't even asked to do this. Go the extra mile for the children, people. So Cynthia had this nice outfit on, which we unfortunately forgot, which is probably better because it was pretty hot and heavy stuff. So I thought it would be fun to, if I showed up, just kind of, the Lord actually started speaking to me about it. So she had boots and ropes and a light and a helmet and everything. So I just kind of wanted to make it a little bit more exciting for the kids. So I came in the first day and I said I was ready for the caves. I was ready to go spelunking. So I came in with my flip-flops, my helmet. I got my light. And then the second day I showed up in some cowboy boots and Cynthia's cowgirl hat, because I couldn't find mine and I didn't want to use her dad's. So I walked around in that for the day. I think at one point somebody said I was a guano farmer. Because that's the only thing that you can really come up with in a cave. But we, you know, the Lord started speaking to me about how we're equipped and he gives us the things that we need in order to walk forth in the call that he called us to. So we had a lot of fun with the kids. We got to, you know, share a lot of fun things like this and do goofy stuff. But honestly, we had a... Sorry, I can't really be taken seriously. But we had a lot of fun, and it was a great 3 days of getting an opportunity to sow into the kids, teach with them about different principles. And yeah, that was the hat. That's awfully close up. You can... There you go. So you got the boots... Yeah, and it was a little hot for jeans, so she's wearing my boots too. So that was her outfit. I dressed up in some form or fashion each day, but we loved spending time with the kids, and it was awesome just to kind of see them respond. We asked them questions about things that the Lord's spoken to them. A few of them shared testimonies in the groups and made some really cool connections. So it was a lot of fun.
So let's see, Summer Celebration Kids, Kingdom Kids, who can remember? So Jesus gives us hope. Jesus gives us direction. And Jesus gives us power. So those are the three main, yes, good job, guys. Those are the three Bible points that we focused on. Day one was on hope, day two was on direction, and day three was on power. So we had Bible buddies that helped us remember that and scriptures that went along with it. So we're going to show a video here, just kind of showing you what we did for the 3 days. Thank you, Water Man. Thank you once again to all the volunteers that helped put the 3 days together. And this was Aiden's first year actually being a helper, and he did a great job outside. And we had parents jumping in and helping. And so it was just an awesome, awesome three wonderful days with our Kingdom Kids, and we're looking forward to next summer. And thank you all for all your donations, everything you gave, everything that you let us borrow. And I believe those will be ready for you in the back table for you to collect today. If there's something that you wanted back and it's not back there, just grab Andrea or myself and we'll figure that out for you. So thank you, guys.
And a big thank you to Cynthia for overseeing this. God bless you, Sin. That's awesome. Many of us just got back from Mozambique last Sunday, or last Saturday night, and then we presented what the Lord was working, showing us and demonstrating and such through that trip last Sunday. And many of the Mozambican team were part of Summer Celebration, so they were able to come in and help, but they weren't part of all the preparation and all the things. So a lot of you were here during the time we were away, and thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Because it really was spectacular, and I just feel that the kids were really stirred this year. Every year it's great. This year there was something new and fresh. I mean, these are little world changers here, so I'm just grateful to you. Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, so many people who helped. Carly, that was an amazing video. So it was really good. And Bethany was here. So God bless you all for that. We want to show a couple of things before we release the kiddos into Kingdom World, Kingdom Land. And I'm not sure if Andy's ready or not. But while he's getting ready, maybe I can have... Justin, are you busy doing that? I guess you can't really share and do that. Is Andy going to take over and do that? Okay. Justin was on the Mozambican team. He was amazing. I appreciate him every time he goes. This year, there was a real upgrade, I believe, for Justin in the area of evangelism. The Lord's really moving in him. And when we go out into a village, and this is not just highlighting you, but you happen to be standing here, so I guess we are in a sense. But There are others who are budding evangelists and such too, but there was this one village we were in, and I felt that the Lord was saying, as Justin was just finishing one of the dances that we do, and he was on the ground, or one of the dramas, I think, and he was on the ground, and he was just getting up, and I went over to him with the microphone. I said, go on, go, speak out who you are. Go get him. Bring him in. It's like, what? What are you talking about? So he stands up, and he looks at me, and I said, just have a good time out there. So he went out, and he just presented the most awesome gospel message. Clear, concise. It was powerful. And he wasn't quite sure if he should follow it all the way through, because sometimes we're just handing the mic off and we have a good-sized team, so we're taking turns sharing the good news. But no way. The Lord said, just let him go and just let him bring it all the way in. And just a good amount of people came in. It was just powerful. And I saw an upgrade in you, and I just really appreciated that. So I just wanted to highlight something that I could see God was doing on the mission field after many years being with Justin and always doing a good job before. But I also heard last week in his testimony that he had finished a book that we've been really promoting here. It's called The Jesus Fast, and Jordan, his brother, and Carly's beloved, bought those for everybody here, one per family unit. It's just really been impacting, and we brought that overseas with us, and trusting that you're reading it here, because I think the Lord's just giving a bigger picture of what's for us to be thinking about in terms of who Jesus is and our call, all of us together. It's all about prayer and fasting as well, but there's another dynamic involved, and I think Justin, when I heard that he had finished that, I said, can you just share how it impacted your heart and your life, and hopefully stirring you to continue reading and start if you have it.
So everyone on the team, they got their Jesus Fast book, and we took it along, and I was just blown away. As soon as we got there, you know, I started reading it, and the revelation and just that I was able to see from that and take from that has been incredible, and he just kept going deeper and deeper. He was speaking out things to me, and one of the things, he's just been expanding my vision and showing how close he is, you know, to me, and how close he wants to be to each one of us. But one of the points that Lou Engle talks about in the book is about Jesus coming back, and for us, you know, contending for that first love to come back, to come home, and I really was thinking about that, and it blew me away for a second, because for one, I've heard people talk about, you know, praying for Jesus to come home, you know, to return, you know, and be united with us. But every time I would hear that, thoughts in my mind would be like, oh, but I don't have this, you know, in my life. I haven't seen, you know, my job isn't ready, or, you know, I don't have a family yet. Or, maybe after I have kids and I'm a grandparent, maybe that's when I really want to see Jesus come home. And so I always, there's that lie in me, like, no, he wants me. I mean, I'm 27 now. You might not have a family. You might not have the kids. You might not be a grandparent. But each one of us, our calling's the same, to call him back, to call him home. I mean, in the physical, but more so in the natural, to see Jesus moving through our generation, through our next generation. And one of the things he spoke to me on this trip is, you know, I am a father. You know, I'm called to be a father, you know, in the natural, but more specifically, a spiritual father, and the people around me, to lead people to him, to lead people to the truth and to his love, and to get close to him. And so, he has been increasing that vision in me. And I've just realized, okay, so these things I've been wanting to see in my life, you know, my personal life, my ambitions, my goals, you know, family, all that's, you know, that's good stuff. But I realized that I was in a place where I didn't know it, but I was putting those things first. And so this trip, he used the time that we had, the team impartations and the book, you know, the time we had time to read the book. He really used that to speak to me that he cares so much about me. He wants to be so close to me that he wants to completely take anything out that might be a distraction, even if it's good things, but he wants to bring back that calling as him being my first love, and for each one of us. I mean, we are called to be, you know, intercessors, to intercede for the upcoming generation, because I believe that the time is now. The time is now to put him first before anything else, and to see the next generation rising up and people coming to Jesus and whatnot. And so, you know, I know it's a big sacrifice. I mean, especially getting back, I realized there's busyness and things and, you know, relationships and all these things that try to come up. But there is an opportunity. And, like Pastor Mary Pat spoke at, everyone is available to take a copy, you know, one per family. And it's there if you want that. But it's a sacrifice. And the time and the open heart that, you know, God wants us to receive, he's saying, you know, make that time because I have something bigger for you. I want to increase your vision. I want to show you how close I am to you. I want to show you what I want to do truly throughout your life and not just look at what you might be missing. Because, you know, now is the time. It doesn't matter what you feel like you're missing in your life. Now is the time to turn that attention to him, that gaze upon him, and to really, you know, call that in. You know, that prayer and fasting, too, that's powerful. That's a spiritual weapon that, you know, we can contend for others around us. We can contend for Jesus to move in our lives and through us and for us. But just let that hunger grow in you. And if you have that desire to want to receive more, you know, just grab a copy and make some time and spend that time with him because he wants to open up whole new dimensions in your lives. Amen.
There's an introduction and there's a foreword, and I'm not going to read it in the book. But Bill Johnson, everybody knows who Bill is, says a couple of things. I just want to read them, what he says, just a couple of sentences. And then David Kalinda, who is Christ for All Nations, the president of that, and Reinhard Bonnke has passed the torch. He's not retired or anything, but he's passed the torch in significant ways to be able to include David, who's very, very powerful in Daniel Kalinda in spreading the gospel around the world, and he has massive crusades. If you went to or watched Azusa Now, he had a very profound message that he was giving, a salvation message anyway. So he very anointed, but here's what he says in one sentence that I think is interesting. He says, I am sure this book is a now word from a man who not only preaches a message but embodies it. As you read the pages of this book, your heart will be set ablaze as mine was. You know, really? Your heart is set ablaze again? Wow. He's very humble. You will be challenged. You will be convicted, confronted, and inspired. Let me say those words again. Challenged, convicted, confronted, and inspired. Most of all, you will be provoked by the prophetic call of a voice, a burning man, calling a generation to prepare the way of the Lord. So we're all called to burn. We're all called to be burning ones. And then Bill Johnson says, this book is a dangerous book. Its sole purpose is to disrupt the life satisfied without revival and draw the believer into a Holy Spirit-provoked dissatisfaction. Isn't that good? From that place, we find our truest significance. I'm not going to read anymore. So its sole purpose is to disrupt the life satisfied without revival and draw the believer into a Holy Spirit-provoked dissatisfaction. From that place, we find our truest significance. I just thought that was good. So anyway, we do have some that are still in the office. If somebody wants to get those and bring them out after we show the video, that would be great. And there is a sign-up sheet, I think, Car, isn't there? And so if you want to take one, if you haven't, then just put your name on it. This is for our frontline family, one per family unit. Before we get into that, I do want to I think that's probably good. Let's go ahead and watch this, and then I'll get into what I was going to say. So if you can just shut the lights down. This is in, where is this? What village are we in? This is Simeon. What's that? Oh, yes. This is Camp 2000 in Gaza. There is Camp 2000 in Maputo, and the reason it's called Camp 2000 is because there was drought and famine and disruption and wartime. It was just a really rough time. And so people were drawn together in camps to be able to survive floods, big flood. So there was a lot of things going on. There were a lot of things going on. So the flood, particularly for Camp 2000, brought in those who were refugees, and they just congregated certain areas, and then the Lord visited them. And we ministered in two specific places, Call Camp 2000. The first one in Maputo, we had a massive group of people come and get saved, and we also had many delivered from witchcraft, and it was very powerful. In Camp 2000 here, Simeon is one of the older gentlemen in the village, and we have something that I'll talk to you about after that that happened during this time with Simeon. But Simeon is sharing a testimony about what happened to him, and I'll explain that. We're here in Camp 2000 in Gaza, and this is my good friend Simeon, who has lived here most of his life, and my also special friend, Pastor Lazarus, who is also from Maputo. And two nights ago, we arrived in Camp 2000, which is the name given to this area because of the big flood in Mozambique in 2000, and this was a place where people would come and be rescued, and they'd set up camps. So that's why we are here. And last night, we did a crusade. The night before, when we arrived, this is when I met Simeon. I was encouraged to go into the house after we set up camp and meet Carlota, who had cerebral malaria. For the third day, she was really in bad shape. Prayed for her, and she was healed. As I was walking out the door, Pastor Lazarus said, "Oh, there's someone who has had some eye problems." And so they said, "Can you pray for him?" And I went to Simeon, and he was not able to see at all. Fully blind for a year and a half. He had pains a year and a half ago on his shoulders and in his neck, and he saw a bright light one day, and then he lost his sight. He couldn't open his eyes. It felt as though he had sand in his eyes. Prayed for him, and we had a progressive healing that night of, now I can see light, now I can see general movement, I can see shadows. The next morning, as we're ready to go here after the crusade, I went up to Simeon, I said, "Let's pray again." And he's a believer. He has known the Lord for many years. And he is believing that Jesus has given him a great miracle. And so, Simeon, I'm going to ask you some questions. And I would like you to answer those questions about your eyes. Simeon, when I came into the house two nights ago, did you believe that you would be seeing that night?
I didn't believe that.
What were you feeling after the prayer that night?
That night, after I'm sleeping, when I'm awake early in the morning, all of the places where I was feeling pain, it was gone.
Completely gone. Mm. When we were praying for this, against the feelings of sand in your eye, it felt like sand. The pain was gone that night, but in the morning, it was completely out of his eyes, out of his neck, out of his stomach.
Is that right? Yes. The stomach ache is gone, and the shoulders is gone, and the sand on my eyes are gone.
The night we prayed, was the stomach gone and the shoulders gone and the pain in his eyes?
Yes. I was supposing I'll come like Jonah. And then take it from here and my back. The shoulders started to be completely the following day when you pray again in the morning for me.
Again. Yes. Okay. And so today, when I was praying for you, what was different? What could you see that was different?
Namuntlha bishelo so siloko isungula kuba akukhongelela intshini tshinwana tsha ku hambana nga xivona
ndi mfuna tsha ku hambana ndo vona ku ndi tanga tsamisa pailanza a ya mtonyana ku mbona na
the difference today, it was coming better to see someone close to me. Even this man, I can see
him. You can see him.
Awesome.
You told me when you came out this morning, you looked at the tree you've always known. It was an orange tree. What did you see?
Yes. Can
you share how you are feeling about this miracle?
Unga
I'm not sure how you are feeling. since I've stopped, so I am still in my mind, like with my people. I'm feeling very happy because I can see the miracles on my body. My body is already healed. So even though I'm running a short of the completely eyes to see 100%, but I believe I can see because there are big difference from me now.
Did you think you would be blind the rest of your life before the prayer?
I hope you said that you would be blind the rest of your life before the prayer. Yes, I was thinking like that.
So it was a big surprise to you. Yes,
it's a surprise for me.
Amen. Glory to God.
When Jesus shows up, that evokes a response in all of us, right? We need to respond. Oh, that's amazing. And the first night when I prayed for him, it was instant in that he could see. He just wasn't as clear as he was when we left. That's the progressive part. When I first prayed for him, I think I shared this last week, there's new faces in here, he didn't see anything. Quick prayer. I just put my hand on again, and then he could see the light. Isn't that amazing? It's really amazing. I'm excited about that. But that's Simeon. And the thing is that we were just sitting around the camp and somebody said, hey, can you go pray for a guy for a lady who's sick? Okay, just go into this house. You just don't know what you're getting. And this lady was so sick that the Lord revealed, I believe, that she had cerebral malaria. And the next night she was dancing in our crusade. And that was the place. Yeah. And that was the place that wasn't supposed to be. We're all in the van ready to go. And all the officials of another place said, you're not going to come out here. You're not going to do the crusade there. And it was a real big deal to a lot of the local people. Like, oh, everybody's upset. Oh, no, no, no. What's the problem? You can't go here. You can't go there. So we're just calmly praying on our bus. And Pastor Joe says, let's go. We're going over here. And that's where God wanted us. So there was all this upheaval really to do what God wanted to do where this was. And that night, Carlota was dancing. It was really cool. So praise the name of the Lord for that. We wanted the children to see that. Children, did you like seeing that? Did you like seeing the works of Jesus? Was that amazing? That man was blind. He couldn't see. And Jesus touched him. We like vacation Bible school, summer celebration, any attempt to impart things, impart heaven to our children to result in some deep, deep desire that Jesus is all we need. Okay? I remember on Friday night, Luke came up. Is he still here? Is he in here? Hey, Luke, do you remember what you said up here? Do you remember it all? Maybe Mommy can come up and she can help you remember if you want to. You want to come up and tell everybody what you said when you were up here? It just wrecked me. Everybody said really cool stuff. But Luke said something very profound. And if he doesn't remember, Mommy, maybe Mommy can. Were you talking about it? And what he said, just like, wow, this little world changer right here. Do you remember? We were just talking about Cynthia called up people to share what they learned or what they felt they got from summer celebration. What was it, sweetheart?
Jesus gives us everything we need.
Let's go home. Thank you. Yeah, that's a high five. I mean, come on. That's cool. It's just, that's what it's all about. Okay, all you kids, let me tell you something. That is an awesome answer, and you all have your own answers too. I'm going to show you, everybody, all of us, we children together. Thank you, sweetie. We're going to watch the beginning of Magdalena. Magdalena was produced through the Jesus Project. Magdalena is the story of Jesus, but it's told from, we're not going to watch the whole thing. It's just a clip, okay? And the kids are going to be released, and the big people will help them see a little bit more through this clip. Now, this Magdalena, Mary Magdalene, shares her story about the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus and how he touched her powerfully as she was carrying many demons. And Jesus just said, evil spirits, go. That's not what we're seeing today. But she shares her story, and she was released from bondage, released from shame. And this compassionate Jesus was so amazing. And we took this video, this movie, into many different villages. And then we preached after that. But this was one of our tools, and it's very strong. The reason I want to show this Because as Mary Magdalene starts, all of a sudden she starts going back to the beginning of creation. So I want you children, all of us, to see why Jesus came.
Please refer to the link provided to view the section of the Magdalena film that was shown.
Well, you'll have to watch Magdalena to get the rest of that. The reason I wanted to show that, there's a few reasons I already mentioned, but I want to also highlight some things before the children are released. Children, this is for you as well. When we look at the very beginning of what was in our Father God's heart and mind, and we see with fresh eyes what he was thinking, what he was feeling about our situation here in this world, and we see how much love he had and still has for us by sending Jesus to do what Jesus was going to do in this film and in reality, it helps us go deeper in wanting to connect with our Heavenly Father, wanting to connect with Jesus, wanting to connect with the Spirit of God. With that heart in mind, and that's not new news to us, but I want to show you something that we're going to begin to implement here as an option for people before we release the children. I want to show you. Ben Atkinson preached here, and one of the tools that the Lord has given him is Holy Clubs, and it's an opportunity for people to connect with the Lord one-on-one, but also together in a group, and then even move out from the group and prayerfully connect with another person to be able to hear from heaven what God was thinking, feeling, saying based on the scriptures. It's just really good. The progression in Holy Clubs of information, if you will, of how to set up and organize this is very foundational. It's not something you go, oh, I think I'll start with the sixth session or sixth group or the seventh or the tenth. It's not that way. It's built specifically, given to Ben by the Holy Spirit to help people grow in their connection in prayer with the Lord, but not lose it, not lose the foundational, prayerful, scriptural bent that God wants us to have deep in our hearts to be able to help sustain us as days may get darker, but the Lord's always the light. And so we want to start this in August with anyone who's interested. And we have, right now, we have four different opportunities, four different groups, and we're going to put a sign-up sheet out in the back, put some feelers out. Some people have responded. Some people haven't. If you're interested and you want to know more about this, sign up on that sheet that maybe Carly can put another one out there. And some of you have already. And then if you feel that there's an aspect that goes even beyond you just participating, get in touch with me. Call me. I've invited some. I've heard back from some. And so we have some takers of this, which I think we'll hear more about next Sunday. But basically, this is an interactive group that is, it's not a Bible study. It's a prayer group that is based on the Word, based on the Scriptures, that opens up heavens and God himself to us, opens up more of our ability to communicate with him and receive his response because the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us. The Lord tells us to go make disciples, followers, right? Go make disciples of all nations. That's our job. We're to follow Jesus, and as Justin said, raise up to be able to help others follow Jesus. And this is a way that we want to implement here, maybe take on the campuses too, but something that we think it foundational, if we start with some things here, we believe that this will help us be able to disciple better. Disciple others better. It's great to have an experience with God. It's great to be caught up in his presence. But what we want to do is be connected to a person. And he is the person. Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father would be the person that we want to connect with and to. And then help others do the same. So when distractions come, they wouldn't be like Eve saying, I think I'll follow the snake. It's just a little bite. Okay? So this is a tool for us to be able to help disciple others as we're growing closer and hearing the voice of the Lord. And I'll be able to tell you more next week. I had a really great talk with Ben last night, and we're going to attempt to do this. And if you can't do this, that's fine. This is not a you must. This is an opportunity. This is an option. But we are asking people to make a commitment to this best they can for between now and January 1st. And we're going to see what God does. We're just going to trust him. We're pioneering something new, and if you would like to do that, that would be great. So if you are interested, and Carly has put a sign-up sheet, or could you, back there? There is one back there. Please put that. Put your email on there if we don't have it, if you're new visiting or something. But this is for people that we are growing up in Frontline. So if you're part of the Frontline family and that's something that you want to take a step in, that would be something that we would love to offer you. I think you'll love this, and I think it's going to be going into some deep places. And there'll be times of discovery. I can't think of anything more frustrating than having an encounter with the Lord and then falling off the boat, so to speak. And it's like, what? Why does this happen? And this will help prevent those kinds of things so that we can continue stabilizing in our walk with the Lord and then help others do the same. It's great to encounter him, encounter the presence, but let's encounter a person who is the presence on a regular basis. Amen? With that, I'm going to ask the mission team, who I believe are the ones going to be ministering to all the kids today, do something different today. You have a lot that God's given you and a lot you've experienced. So we can do it a little bit differently today. And they don't know this. I think I mentioned it to T. But just take this movie. Take this video. You've got hungry hippos there. And just talk to them all. And let them grow in what they've already received. They may have some questions. And help them. And probably will be finished by the time you're finished with them. Amen? So kingdom kids are released. Amen. And thank you, mission team, for helping them. If I would ask you please to turn in your Bibles, we stopped the video, at Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was speaking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. And he said, today the scriptures are fulfilled in your midst. And it evoked a great and interesting response from many. There was surprise, there was amazement, there was anger, there was frustration. Just all kinds of emotions were flying. And it's very interesting to see what the Lord says in his word. Because this was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And foundationally, when we have even a better understanding of how to communicate why Jesus came and to communicate the gospel clearly, we really have an opportunity to draw in people, and we can grow deeper, but draw in people who are really desiring what God has. Everybody has that capacity because we're made in the image and likeness of God. So this is going to be something to really think on and consider before the Lord. So, this is fine today. This is good. So if you can open your Bibles to Luke 4, and if you can put that up, T, do you know how to do that? You lost some of your people. If anybody can help Tiana or Teresa put that up, that would be great. Thanks, Spence, or Andrew. Sorry, saw the back of you. So Luke 4, NASB would be great. We're going to look at that. There's a lot of meat in that chapter, and I'm encouraging you, because we're not spending all day here, to consider this before the Lord and continue on with maybe a new thought about the nature, the character, the goodness of God in light of what we've already said. But Luke chapter 4 is the chapter that the Lord really spoke to us about when he told us to start Frontline. And Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 is our theme passage for this entire ministry. It has been for the last 21 years. And we're in our 20th year of missions. We started 21 years ago and then took our first mission trip outside of the country 20 years ago. And when he gave us this passage, which is the New Testament version of Isaiah 61, where this is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, the Lord spoke to us, and we didn't know if this is something that he wanted to give as a new verse for next year, give us a new one next year, another one the year after that. But no, he said, no, this is the foundation. This is the cornerstone of who you are. This is who I have designed you to be. It's like, oh, okay, we better unpack this and see what that looks like. So that's very interesting. So when we stopped this, we wanted to pick it up at Luke 4, if you could, turn there, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, because I believe that the Lord wants to shape a lot of minds differently today. If you noticed in the video, back in the beginning at the Garden of Eden, you noticed the dove. I'm sure I said pointed it out. There's the dove. But the dove obviously represented the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. Obviously, he was there in creation, so that's not new. But the fact that he was grieved, that he was quenched, that he was moved away from the behavior, away from what was going on, he just was absolutely not able to be in the presence of wickedness. Anything that was not from heaven was considered wickedness. Anything. Thus, the holy clubs, to be able to capitalize on the holiness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and allow him to breed that holiness through us. That's the reason for it. So what's interesting about the way that they did this video, and we watched this in village after village after village, is that when we fast forwarded and you saw Jesus coming on the scene and he was going to be baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin, by John the Baptist, you noticed again there's a dove and the dove is falling on Jesus' shoulder. And then a thunderous voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So here you see a picture of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right there, scripturally, and on the video, to be able to begin what Jesus was saying is, here's why I was created, why I was birthed, rather, and why I was brought to this earth. And I am so much still Jesus, but I am deciding to lay myself down and come in the form of a man to be able to do what only I can do. Because I am the spotless, non-blemished, spotless lamb who was born of a virgin. And so all of that, hopefully that will be better understood by some of the children today as there's even more discussion about that. So that there can be a depth of heart in people to really, when Jesus is sung about or sung to in worship on Sunday morning, and the kids are feeling something good, and they're waving a flag or whatever it would be, and all of us are worshiping the Lord, oh Jesus, you're everything, that we will be able to go to another dimension, that we will be able to move into a place where we're experiencing him, where we are connecting with a person. We are connecting with him. This person of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, the very Spirit of the living God, living inside of us, was there to come upon Jesus and remain inside of us, where Jesus had perfect communion with the Father, always in communion, in connection with the Father. He wasn't combating darkness. He took care of that on the cross. Although darkness came to him and presented itself to him, or he stumbled, not, Jesus didn't stumble, but darkness would stumble upon him and have to deal with the presence of God, Jesus himself. And Jesus would be able to go to Mary Magdalene or whomever it would be it a demonized person or be it someone who was sick or infirmed or diseased or something like that. And just his presence, boom, would cause a disruption in the spirit. So naturally, when Jesus says, "I am the fulfillment of Isaiah, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your midst," naturally, there is going to be some kind of explosion where people want to run him out of town, whatever it is. I mean, that really set things in motion. The enemy already had Jesus targeted, but this was now going to take up, this was going to ramp it up and take it into a new place because now Jesus is very verbal and visible. But yet, Mary and Joseph were used by God to be able to steward a person, steward the life of a not just a presence, but a real person. So we have the life of Jesus that we can watch at least the first 12 years, okay? But when he's 30, he begins his public ministry. And at that point, this person now is able to be publicly made. He has had his private victories already, as David has with the bear and the lion. He now is going to go public, and it's going to get worse. So we can expect that those of us who believe we are trusting God to turn us into world changers that actually are doing something in the world, which I believe we all believe that, or hopefully we do. It's what we believe God says for us. That we can see that the private victories that we have with the Lord are going to result in something that's tangible. Are going to result in something that will manifest in a way where we can believe and we can see that the Lord is wanting to do something through our lives. It's one of the reasons I brought Justin up here. I wanted you to hear him because I wanted to say, this is what I saw. Does that make Justin perfect? No. Are all eyes on Justin? No. But we need to see and we need to celebrate the progression of what God releases through us. And I'm all about doing that with these little people and actually accelerating that. I would like to see them be able to step into more of who they are. And I believe that's happening. And thank God that we have the people training them up. You guys are amazing. So thank you, and thank you all these people back in the back. So I'm saying that for those who are listening to this message on tape, because you guys know I feel that way about everybody here. But I want people to know that if they listen to this message, that is very important. So if you have the privilege of saying yes to help steward lives, please say yes. Going back into kids' ministry or going up into kids' ministry is an exceptional honor and a privilege. And if you have taken that lightly, change. Because we need you. They need you. Because there's something at stake here. Because we are building and building and building. And God's doing it through us. And we want the eyes to see who these people are. Not just each one of us. I didn't want you just to see Justin. I want you to see Luke. We want to see what God sees. And we want to be able to pull out the gold that's in on the inside. But we don't want foundations that are faulty, foundations that are shaky. We don't want people who will be rah-rah for Jesus for several years and then get distracted and go a different direction where they're watered down, they become moderate, mediocre, and they start thinking in ways that wouldn't be helpful. So we want to use any tool that we can to draw us, ourselves, and even those we love, back into the fire if people have tasted of the fire. If we haven't tasted or been touched by the fire, we need to run to the fire. Irregardless, we need to run. I need to be in the fire. I need to become a burning one. That's who I am. And so Jesus took this step out. Can you imagine what he was thinking? Okay, Papa, you're telling me to go make this statement about Isaiah. Here we go. And I'm ready for it. I'm ready to rumble because it's not going to be pretty. And there's going to be many years of this. And he knew. He's prophetic. He is prophecy. He knew. He knew what was going on. He knew what was going to happen. But yet, he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Can we say that about ourselves? Are we growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man? Are we? We are in a season where the Lord is saying, I want one of your favorite words to be love and repent. Love and repent. Love and cleansing and purity and holiness. These are a few more words than one. Because when we have this as a capturing place in our heart, God, you're just so amazing. You light my whole world up. You light my fire. I am on fire for you. And I want you to bring people to watch me burn. He will. He really will. And I believe that we've turned a page. And I believe we're in that other place, whatever that looks like. I don't really fully know, but I believe that's where we are. I believe that God is very intentional and specific about preparing us for that even more. John the Baptist was one, a forerunner who was preparing the way. Jesus is coming soon. He's looking for those he can prepare now who will prepare the way for Jesus. So when we talk about world changers, we are changers of what's going on in the world, for sure. But it's all about nations. And the Lord is saying, I am going to change your thinking and your experience about nations and how we interact with nations, because Jesus was all about nations. And he's doing that. And I just celebrate that. If you have a thought that comes in your mind, oh, that so-and-so, Carly, she just got married to Jordan. I would never leave my husband and go to the mission field. That's not a thought from Jesus. If you have that, I'm not saying anybody does, but she's a nice target here because she just got married and went to the nations, felt she wanted to do this, and so did Jordan. Okay, we need to celebrate these things and not fight against something that God would be doing. We don't want to have an opinion that is not the Holy Spirit in this season. That's just not smart. And we need to get rid of those kinds of things. So this is not a call to you to, you know, if you have thought that, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I'm not in your mind. I'm just using Carly as an example here. It could be me. Oh, that Pastor Mary Pat, I would never wear a dress like that. Does she know how old this is? She's been wearing that for the last 20 years in missions. You know, get that thought out of your mind because it's distracting. I don't really care if you don't like the dress. The point, do you see my point? It's we don't want to have an opinion that is not what Jesus is saying. That's all I'm saying. We don't want to just, oh, because I believe that the enemy is going to just try to tempt us in the flesh. Oh, that Peter, I can't believe he would go overseas and leave a 9-month pregnant wife who is still pregnant and beautiful and wonderful. You see what I'm saying? We have to be careful. And I don't think anyone has said that, but I'm just saying. We have to be careful of the quiet places, the inner thoughts, the inner quiet places that we meditate on, that we move in, because this is a time where the Lord is ready to blow up great things for us, and he's wanting us to get really strong and straight in the area of our thought life. So for Luke 4, let's just take a look at this. Love it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set, well, we memorized this years ago in a different version, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to release the fear of the Lord. So here we go, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Okay, back in Luke 4, again, I won't be able to go through all of this, but this is to set the stage so you can do it when you leave here. You take all that we've been talking about and put it together and go through line by line by line. This is awesome. So Jesus leaves the desert, as you know, full of the Holy Spirit, returning from the Jordan, and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness, okay, for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. So here's your first evidence of a 40-day fast by Jesus. He incurred more temptation than any of us could ever understand. So it won't be like anything that we could possibly have, because Jesus is Jesus, and every wicked thing from hell came against him. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Number two, the devil said, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. Second lie. Jesus says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Okay? Nine. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, here's Satan using scripture. Love that one. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time, meaning when there would be an opportune time for Jesus to be hit again and again. Jesus needed to stay in really close communion with the Lord, with the Father, and he was. I'm not going to unpack all of that right now. There are other messages that I've given where I have done that. You can look them up on the internet. But I believe what I would suggest you do when you reread this at home is ask the Lord these three basic temptations. How do they affect me? What do they do for me? How have I or could I possibly see my life being affected by a similar type of temptation? Maybe some different wording. How would the enemy try to stop me, water me down, nullify me, draw me away from the fire, reduce my burn, keep me out of the word? You know, the list goes on. Anything that will bring us, take us backwards rather than progressively climbing. If we're not progressively climbing, there is no neutral. We need to be progressively climbing, and Jesus knew that. That's what I would suggest, and I believe the Lord will speak to you and share some things. But let's fast forward here because of the time. In verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised for all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he read it. I'm not going to read it again. So now let's take a look at some of the reactions here. Verse 20, he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The eyes of all the synagogue, everyone, every eye, every wicked thinking person, every person who wanted to try to follow him, every person who was clueless, every eye was upon him. When Jesus spoke, every eye was upon him. Very, very significant. Verse 22, and all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? They couldn't believe it. This is the son of Joseph and Mary? And he said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Listen to his response. Truly, I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. Now, you can become puffed up and think, well, that's me. I'm not welcome in my hometown, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. And that could be true. But I would say that we need to ask, why is this so significant? Why is Jesus saying these words right now in verse 24? In verse 25, let's just keep going. I believe it'll be answered. But I say to you in truth. Now, here's Jesus saying the word truth and truly within two verses. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Why would he say that? Why would Jesus respond that way? I thought he just talked about Luke 4, 18 and 19. It's talked about Isaiah 61. Now listen to, watch what the people do. And the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Isn't that interesting? And how many of the people? All. How many of the people, how many of the eyes were on him, were fixed on him? Okay. Very interesting. Jesus was very provoking, wasn't he? And he was very intentional. Many times, if we hear something from the Word of God spoken by a person through the Word of God, but it's by someone who carries a strong anointing, the Spirit of God, we will feel uncomfortable. We will feel uneasy. We will feel annoyed. We will feel mad. We will feel pressured. We will feel irritated. Why? Because what we carry on the inside is reacting. Many times. Because Jesus was always at peace. So he's listening to the Father who's speaking to him. Jesus, who is peace, is speaking what he knows is going to do something. Because he wants to see all people saved, doesn't he? Didn't he say that he came to save all people from their sin? Didn't he say that? Here, this is my job. I'm the guy. I don't know if you can get this, people. Not you, but him saying that. You know, can you, I'm the one. It's been fulfilled. He was told by the Father to do that. Hey, He didn't just read the scroll. He said, here I am, deal with it. And what happened? All were filled with rage. Very interesting. A good measuring stick, too. And a good help for us when we're in peace and we're carrying the peace of God. Peace does not look like a smile on a face. Peace is deep on the inside that it brings a smile on the face, can bring a smile on the face, will bring a smile on the face. But Jesus, at this point, is speaking these words. I don't know if he's smiling or not, but he's speaking the words of the Father, and everybody's enraged, and they were uncomfortable. If you have a situation in your own life like that, and you sense that's what's going on in this scenario, in this situation, you're not helpful if you say, oh, it's okay. It's just not really like that. That's not helpful. What's helpful is to help a person recognize what's behind the reaction. However that goes down, you know, you have to get the word of the Lord on how to do that and when to do that. But we need to help people. We need to do that. Because the enemy's job is to do exactly what you saw in the movie. Whoa, there's a responsibility. Jesus had a responsibility. All the hearers who were there, he knew he'd see them again, many of them again. And he knew some of the guys with the white beards and the hats and all that, they were going to be the ones who would meet him in the garden and bring Judas and take him in to meet his captors and killers and all that. I mean, Jesus knew what was going to happen, how much he knew at that time, of whether it was revealed moment by moment by moment. That's between Jesus and God. He tells us, what he tells us here is what we go by. But Jesus was and is the great prophet. So Jesus was very intentional. So there were times that what he said and what he did, which is most of the time, would enrage people. It's like, well, but Jesus said that all men will be drawn to me if I carry Jesus. Well, yes. The presence of God. We are all designed for that. But what provokes people to say, yes, I want Jesus? The message, the love message of Jesus comes with, there's a cost, and that's your entire life. When we were in one village, after the healing of Simeon, okay, the next night, you saw a picture last week. It's really profound. We were in one village, and we had shown the Magdalena film, and we had various people saying things at certain points, I think. But I knew the Lord told me to give the gospel on that one. That's what it was. And I looked at the way it was set up, and I thought, God, we're not supposed to do things the way we always do things. There's too many people around. You want people. This is about people. So we've got a screen out that way, and we've got tons of little children in the front, and we've got an area, you know, up by the screen that's really open, good for kids to come up, and then people can trickle down. And then in the back by Kim and Rick, or even farther, much farther, let's just say back by the kitchen or even farther than that. Then we've got a little road, and then we've got hedges by the road. And then you've got all these people just standing there, maybe drinking, I don't know, standing there behind trees, behind hedges. People were everywhere. And the Lord said, I'm all about people. Well, the message is strong and powerful. It's a message of love. But God wanted to bring them all in. I like the word all. And so he told me to stand in the middle. So I stood in the middle. It's like, wow, that's not good. There were some white chairs there. It's like, this is not good. The little kids, they can't see. What do we do? Well, I don't know. We just stood in the middle anyway. And said, God will work this out. And I'm not really tall. I'm not a Justin or Jordan. So, you know, it's like, how are you going to do this, God? So I stood in the middle, but I faced the people out on the street, the people behind the hedges and the trees. And then I turned around to try to catch as many of the little kids as I could. And I was walking around as much as I could. Because all I could think about was the Lord wanted to affect all of them and bring them all in. Well, what they carried was probably enraged somewhat. But the power of the release of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was so strong that everybody came forward. I mean, everybody. It was just like a sweep. And I mean, I'm surrounded by people. Pastor Joe said, there's just people everywhere. It was incredible. And eventually I got one of those chairs and stood on one for the prayer so it could be seen. Not that they could see me, but they could feel that there's a voice somewhere coming. There's another person. But the idea was, so, and I'm just little me. Can you imagine Jesus in the synagogue and he's giving this message and he's thinking about the people and they're enraged? What kind of deal is that? Shouldn't they just drop to their knees and say, why, it's Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph? No. The unbelief was so strong. What they were carrying was so strong. And it wasn't Jesus' time to be fully revealed. But he has been fully revealed. It is finished. And it is his time. And it's our time. So now when we preach the gospel, things happen. And the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. And it's amazing. And God says, I want to do a big deal. I want to save witches. And I'm going to save the kids who go to the witch doctors. And I'm going to free them all. I'm going to heal that witch. And she's going to put her pot down. You know, this is the kind of stuff that's big. Well, it's like, well, that doesn't happen in Jackson Township. Oh, yes, it does. Just looks a little different. So God's equipping us to be able to recognize when to say and what to say. If we start opening up with what we think God is wanting to have happen, and there's harshness attached to anything that we say, we have just imagine the little dove going, no, 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 no. Not on the inside because he loves us, but he's grieved. He's quenched on the inside. So God says, this anointing that breaks the yoke is so strong, I want you to be able to steward a person. I want you to understand how to steward the person who was standing in the synagogue, the person in the form of the Holy Spirit on the inside, not just stewarding this nebulous word presence. And I'm not being facetious here. The presence of God, highly honored. The presence of God is a person. So when we feel like, oh my gosh, I'm raising my hands and I feel close, the Lord is saying, this is me. I am here. This is who I am. And the Lord wants to raise the bar so that his burning, he's the burning one, will completely take us over. Thank you, Jesus. It's so strong. Thank you, Holy One. So good. Wow. And then verse 29 says, and they got up and they drove him out of the city and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. I just love that verse. Oh, no, 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 it's not my time. You can't kill me. Okay, I can walk along the edge, but I'm Jesus and you're not. But he did what he was supposed to do at that time. Now, that's strong. That's powerful. I love this. I could read this every day. Read the Bible every day. But read chapter 4. This is just the very beginning. This is how Jesus started out. He was thrown out. And he was rejected from the beginning. We have rejection problems or issues or whatever. Okay. I think the one who has experienced the greatest rejection of all from the get-go, even before he was birthed, is Jesus Christ. And he understands. And he says, I am going to take you into a new place to even understand how that works. I'm going to take you to a place where you can look at a person and they're being afflicted by things that are not God. And you're not going to call that a bad day. You're not going to call that a tired moment. You're going to see what it is because you have been in the presence of God and you know how to deal with it. And the power then rises up and you're able to then be in the presence of that person, maybe say a couple words and something happens and that person gets free. God's doing that in this hour. He's doing that with the children. He's doing that with us as adults. He's saying, my presence, the intensity of my presence is increasing around the world. And I just want you to be in the flow of what's going on and carry the torches. I want you to be part of that. Not doing your own thing, not going your own way, not carrying your own vision. That just gets old and stinky really fast. And God says, embrace the vision I've given. Embrace the vision around you. And let's do this together. 12 disciples changed the world. Amen? So good. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Verse 33 comes down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. Now, look at verse 32. And when they were amazed, and they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. Do you think that when we get stronger in the Lord, if you will, or burning more, that the authority is increasing of the Lord. You know, it doesn't always sound like thunderous, but the authority of him is more apt to be released. And we can see things change. We should see things change around us. You think, well, I've been praying for something for 4 years or 40 years, and it's not happening. It will. Well, I have faith for it, but I don't see it. I know, but it will. Well, why? Because Jesus is faith. So our eyes are on him and understanding more about what faith is. I heard there was an amazing message Pastor Bill gave when I was gone, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to. And I encourage you, if you weren't here, especially the Moe's team, Jamie can get that word out to the team, to listen to it. I've heard about it. So I'm really excited about that. So God is, he's smart. He knows what we need when we need it. We're over in Moe's and something's going on here. If we're partnering together, he was praying for my health and Pastor Bill was praying for protection just at the right times when we talk later. So how are you feeling about X, Y, and Z? Pretty good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. He's saying we need to be in sync with each other and not distracted doing our own thing, trying to build our own little kingdoms. We need to stay in sync. Be in sync and stay in sync. And I think that's where we're headed more and more. And I love it. Love this place. I love you people. You're amazing. Okay, so look at 32. That they were all amazed. Now, he went to Capernaum at his teaching, for it was filled with authority. And 33, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out in a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out." And when the demon threw him down in the midst of the people, he came out without him doing any harm. And amazement came upon them all, and they all began talking with one another, saying, "What is this message? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. So Jesus needed to leave where he was. He gave his message. He had to get it out prophetically, didn't he? The ultimate prophet. And he needed to speak out what the fulfillment of the scripture was, because he knew the scripture, and he knew the scripture, which is him, because he's the word, he knew that that needed to be spoken out to be able to be released and completed. He knew that, so that's what he did. The Father told him, this is what's going to happen. Go ahead, it's time. This has been prophesied. Let them know. Give them all a chance. We don't know how many people, if any, really followed at that point, but eventually they did. Hopefully. We can see from Pentecost and on. Verse 38. Now we're just going to take it down to the end here and then close. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. Standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She immediately got up and waited on them. I love it. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one, he was healing them. So he was healing and delivering everywhere he went while the sun was setting. Interesting point. Let's move on. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. And the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. And he said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. I'm just going to read a verse that's in my Bible next to it that I have a star by. It's verse 15 out of 5, chapter 5. It says, "When the news about him was spreading even further, a large crowd was gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray." And one more verse, it's just too good. 17, "One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law standing there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of God was present for him to perform healing." We want to close today thinking about not just works of the kingdom. With the way our minds can work, we can try to compartmentalize Jesus. Okay, Jesus was a baby. Jesus came as a man. That's nice. Jesus performed different works. Jesus wants me to do the works of him. Okay, that's good. Now, this Jesus fasted and prayed, and he was with the Father. And he always communed with the Father. So Jesus is the one that I just want to model Jesus here. And then Jesus went into the synagogue, and there were some who were just really enraged with him, but he wasn't angry. He showed love. He demonstrated love and care and concern because he needed to release the prophetic word of the Father and show care and concern for people and prophesied about healing right after that. He just did that right there in the synagogue. Wow. He was always thinking about how will people receive who I am. For us as burning ones, or if we call ourselves burning ones, we want to burn more. I believe the Lord wants us to understand him multidimensionally, spirit of understanding, spirit of wisdom, but be able to say, my emotions and my mind and my will not lead me. And where they have, I will not anymore, because Jesus was not. Jesus was not led by his feelings. He was not led by his mind, led by his emotions, led by anything other than the Father. He did exactly what he heard the Father say to do, what he saw the Father do. That's who Jesus is. Okay? So we can spend our time with him, asking him to reveal himself more and more and more, and expect that he will. And then when we connect with him, we're connecting with heaven himself, and it will wreck us. I don't even know how, when Josh was singing that last song, I don't even know how you got through it, Josh. It was so powerful. It's like, wow, keep singing. I'm on my face back here just weeping before God. I just can't. And if you weren't, I don't care. I'm just telling you about me. Just saying, he showed up. Jesus showed up. Wow. He was here. He's here. The Lord is saying, steward a person. Steward the Spirit of God on the inside. Steward him. Steward him well. We're not stewarding a movement. We're not stewarding a concept. We're stewarding a person. Stewarding a person is the greatest call for each one of us. To be able to say, what do I do with you? You have come to me. I know you. What do I do with who you are? I need to know you. I need to know you more. I need to hear more. I need to receive. I need to connect. I need you. I need you. I don't need a fix. I don't need to be delivered alone. I need to live for you. I need you. I need to be with you. I am designed to be closely connected with you, and nothing will stop me. And out of that will pour out the signs and wonders, pour out the desire for missions, pour out the desire to share the gospel, pour out the desire to make disciples of all nations, all these things, pour out the desire to stand up and worship him, pour out the desire in the inside for everything that he is wanting to be expressed through us. How? Jesus was expression of Papa, of that great love. Love is not a concept. Love is a person. So when we sang of him, we sang to him, we sang of love, he showed up and his angels, and he's saying, heaven is here. So do not mistake, do not miss, run to me, run away from anything that is not who I am. And I will show you great and mighty things, and I will make new ways. I will make a way in the desert. You will be one who will prepare the way of the Lord returning. It will not be a book alone. A book can be a stirring thing, but read the book and know that fear is our arch enemy of any kind, and faith is what will grab us on the inside. And the Lord says that the just will live by faith, because Jesus is faith. And we live by faith because he is faith, and he's going to reveal to us what faith really looks like. And when things happen, we are not going to be content with anything other than the raw and the true and the right faith. It's not just faith as an idea. It's faith himself. Lord, I just thank you for this holy moment. And I thank you, Lord, that you're stirring us up because you're here. You're stirring us up with who you are. You're stirring us up with where we're going with you. And we are not shrinking back, God. We're moving and we're going together. We're going as a family into your throne room together, Papa. But it starts with us one-on-one with you. I just thank you, Lord, that today is a new day. I just want to end, if I could, Josh, if you could lead us with Jamie and whoever else was up here, Mandy, whoever was up here, Nikki, just lead us in the last song as we close. We can just worship the Lord as we close and go out and do whatever he's calling us to do. Let's just worship him with that last, that's what I believe, the last song, whatever that's called. Oh, how you love me, or whatever the name is. Jesus, just ask for your burning presence. Let's just get the children back in here. Go get the children from wherever they are and bring them back. And let's thank the Lord in our worship and be blessed, be encouraged, and be strengthened today that faith himself is with us. And I believe that this week will be completely different for us. There will be new things that happen. I really believe that. When the children come in, they don't understand what's going on here. Just help them. Okay? Help them. Help them. Help them worship. Thank you, Holy One. You are so good. You are so good. Father, I just lift up a holy banner of love right now and a righteous standard of hope and healing and purity and holiness, God. That there will be something new that happens in our midst because you have increased us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just love you so much, Jesus. We live for you, Holy One. Can we just be on our feet? We just want to leave worshiping the Lord. This is about you, Jesus.